Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June, I need to see your face today, but I'm imagining you, the best version of you, you know?
Yeah, listen, it's February, yeah. And my roots are coming in at an alarming rate. Yeah. I've got like a 3-inch root right now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this is a hard month for me. I have to be totally honest. So yeah. I know I'm not showing myself. It's not by choice. I'm having a tech issue on the camera, but it might be for the best.
I think that's fine. I don't need to be. You're seeing me, and that's fine too. but I don't need to be seen like by anybody right now. I wish, you know what I woke up wanting so bad, June? I pictured it in my mind before I even got out of bed. All of us in Palm Springs.
Mm.
Remember the trip we took? Now listen, I was in the middle of chemo, so I wasn't in the best emotional state, but just picture us all there at a cozy booth, having dinner, then hitting the pool in matching serapes, you know, coordinating resort where I need like a girl's getaway.
Well, Jess, I have to report that I went out a few nights ago for just a simple glass of wine with some gals, and I did not eat enough. I definitely smoked a joint, and then I had a couple of cigarettes, and I got very fucked up. And what I thought was going to be just a simple night over a few laughs turned into a rager. All of this is to say I had a time, Jess.
Yeah, that's great. That's what I need.
And I had a night.
Yeah.
And it was really wonderful. And I really think, I know we started off this podcast talking about the fuck hut, and I know we haven't gotten into it, but I got close to it that night.
And that's a lot. And I would take the sickness for it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody wanted to shame me the next morning.
Why?
You know, and I woke up in a great sea of crumbs in my bed, you know, and napkins.
That's a Tuesday for me, you know?
Okay.
Sea of crumbs is going to be my memoir title.
Very upsetting, you know, makeup still on, all that. But I was like, God damn it, it was worth every bit of this.
You had a release.
Yes.
You had to release.
Yes.
Yes.
And I know, you know, I just am looking for more opportunities to rage.
I haven't been given any. And do you know the one time I was supposed to rage in London, BB started throwing up and I had to stay home? And even she knew, like mid-throw up, she was like, I'm really sorry. I know you were looking forward to that night out. I was. Hugh Laurie had like, you know, booked an entire bar
just for us.
And I just couldn't believe it was so close, but yet so far away. So that's, yes, this is, I'm going to have to be the architect of it. You know, because the opportunities aren't coming at me with the way they should.
No, we're going to have to start to create them.
Well, I'm not a stranger to inviting people places that aren't mine.
But here's what I want. Here's what I want to get in your head. And I want to really put this energy out there. I want us to start thinking about going a little bit further than we're comfortable with.
Yeah. In what sense? In the drug sense? Is this in the location?
Just in the time? Like, I want to get out of the mindset of like, oh, we arrive at 7:30, we leave at 10. You know, you had a glass of wine. Like, that's not enough.
It's not enough. Well, also, here's what I'm going to say too, is I don't need, how do I say this? I don't need the riffraff. I need a core, and I don't need people coming up that I have to be appropriate to or ask how they are if I don't care. I want to keep it core. You know, I want to keep it with like, who's the group that like when a piano starts playing, you know, they want to come over and sing in harmony. You know, and I don't want a bystander. I don't want anybody looking at me. I don't want to try.
I will only be Ubering.
Yeah.
From now until September.
Great idea. Okay. Yes. So, and from Santa Monica, I might as well take out another mortgage.
And that's something I want to say to you that I'm already worried about. Like, you have to be prepared to Uber, Jessica, because I will get home the next morning. Like,
I'm prepared to make a location move.
Okay, great. Because I really want you to accompany me.
I
want to be expansive. And I really think that night scratched an itch for me. And it was like, oh my God, do I need to have a time.
Have fun.
And be alive.
Have fun. I want to bring this to orangutans and stay with me here.
I'm ready.
Okay. So Bibi pretty much exclusively watches interspecies friendships on this channel called The Dodo, which is all animal videos, but we are obsessed with, you know, a duck and a monkey. They become best friends.
What could be better?
Whatever it is, they have to learn about, and for some reason they're in love. So we watch that pretty exclusively. That's how we start our day. We start our day with screens. That's just how it goes in here. So we find one we've never seen before, which is rare because sometimes we're, you know, we watch the same ones over and over again. And this was so there's a family of orangutans, a mom, a dad, and a little boy. They share 97% of our DNA. 97.
That's a lot.
Okay. So they were in a zoo in Brussels, and their joy in life was interacting with all the people that came to the zoo. They sit, they chat with them, they wink at them, they play with them, they show the baby to them. That's what they did all day long. And they loved it, apparently. I mean, again, do they like being in a cage when they're 97% our DNA? Probably not. But like, this is what their days were about. And they were very happy to see us. And the lockdown happened. Mm. And nobody came. And they started to die. They went into their cave. And they started to have failure to thrive. They started to die. They started not to eat. And everybody was freaking out. Okay. The zookeepers thought, well, what if we come in and start spending time in their enclosure? It didn't do anything because they consider that their immediate family. And they didn't want their immediate family. Mm-hmm. They wanted strangers. They wanted new
community.
They wanted interaction and community. Okay.
Yep.
So now they've got these three orangutans. They're like, these animals are not going to survive the pandemic. Mm. And it was a shock to everybody. So this amazing man comes and builds a river that goes from one enclosure up to the next, like all the way up the zoo. And this is so European. You know what I mean? Let's build a river. And he gets a family of otters, 9 otters, and he sets them into the river. And he's like, if they want to make their way to the orangutan enclosure, they will. Well, they did. And having these 9 otters, and otters are bananas and are always up to some insanity, brought them back to life. They were happy again. And they adopt a lot of these otters as their own pets, let them ride on their heads, you know, raise their babies, like, and everybody's just interacting in a big community and having fun. They're fun.
F-U-N.
So then I'm thinking to myself, God, they haven't even scratched the surface. Mm. of what happened to our mental and physical health when we were locked down. They haven't scratched the surface of it, and we are still suffering. And I really want us to like really honor that in ourselves, because when we, I just feel like it's, we're tired, we're fatigued, we can't make decisions. We feel sad.
You brought us to orangutans, and I'm gonna say two more words.
Yeah,
that we're gonna connect this to, and those words are pickleball.
Tell me.
And I'm gonna.
Okay.
Okay. So several of our friends.
This is why I'm gonna report this to you.
Have taken up pickleball.
I love pickleball.
Okay, I've never played pickleball. So right now, this is just an idea to me. But
I'm phenomenal at it.
Many, of course you are. Many of our friends have taken up pickleball for no other reason, apparently, than to just enjoy themselves.
Yeah, because pickleball, by the way, like, I don't even know if you work out during pickleball. It's tiny.
That's what
the
I said
court
to Casey.
Is
so
miniature.
Casey's gotten super into pickleball, and I was like, wait, is it a workout? Because, you know, I play tennis. I love playing tennis, but it's also,
yeah, you know, a workout. It's a workout.
It is a workout.
It counts.
Now,
it counts.
It counts as something. It's not everything, but it's something.
It counts as a lot.
Yeah. And I was like, she goes, no, pickleball is like you're holding a martini. You're holding a margarita playing pickleball. Like you're.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like
it's
like a little bit bigger than ping pong.
Exactly. And so I've become up, and now I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to put you on a pickleball text, Jessica.
I'll make the drive.
If you can get there.
It's by Lennon. I can make a drive to pickleball.
Okay, great. So there's a group of our friends who are playing pickleball, and they're just doing it to be together and enjoy themselves. And now these pickleball matches are like 2 hours long.
Oh. Yes.
Okay.
So it should be.
I've just been so thrown by this and so inspired by it. And I haven't shown up to any of the, you know, gatherings. But just knowing pickleball is there
for
has
you.
Lifted me. And I did say to the group text, like, they're throwing out times and dates, like, don't schedule around me. But just knowing it's going on in my circle
good.
And in my sphere.
You can tag in.
It might even be enough. So I really, really want
fun.
To have fun.
Let's increase the fun. What is fun? No more of this drudgery. I say
yes.
No to this drudgery.
I say no. And I also, I'm going to say something. Like, when I went to that evening last week, I was getting ready and I thought, oh, this will be a lovely night. Like, this is going to be lovely. It's a small group. It's, you know, but it's going to be absolutely lovely. And what I didn't expect was that we would like shoot off into outer space.
Yeah. Yeah. And end on the bathroom floor.
And end on the floor. But that also like we would be surprising ourselves with where the night went.
That's yes. Like,
and
you know
what
I want?
More of.
Here's the thing. Why in college is it a typical night? I'm thinking about my friend Molly and I. To play Pong. Now, you know, I didn't really drink or do drugs, but remember Pong? Did you guys play Pong?
It like beer pong?
Yeah. Was that not something? See, NYU is different. Okay,
I went to drama school.
So at Middlebury, where I went to Vermont, you play Pong wherever you go. And it's two glasses of beer on each side of a ping pong table that may or may not have a net. It had a life as a ping pong table. But
okay,
now it's
gotcha.
A pong table, okay? And sometimes, you know, people are decorating it, whatever. But you play and you try to take a ping pong ball and you try to hit it into the beer. And then if you lose, there's all sorts of rules, but if you lose, you got to chug the beer, whatever, okay? If you get 0 points, if it's a shutout, 11 to zero, that that team has to take off all their clothes.
Oh my God.
And run around the house naked. And if it is the deepest, darkest February, you can wear your shoes. You are doing it in a snowdrift because sometimes there's 6 to 8 feet of snow on the ground.
And this is with men and women?
Oh, yes. You have to just shed your clothes. Now, if, and again, you don't have to take them off right at the ping pong table, but people are peering at you out the window just to see it because there's nothing funnier than someone in hiking boots running through
hilarious.
The snow. And so I'll never forget. We slipped. I fell into a snowdrift naked and we laughed our freaking asses off. Okay. There were naked runs. Everybody
so
was
much.
Just getting naked and doing insane things. And,
yes. Yes.
And like, why should we not be playing Pong as adults?
That okay, so and listen, I'm sure deep divers, some of you are listening and thinking like, wow, I'm heading into or I'm in the deep throes of a midlife crisis. And I might be, you know, but I'm just sort of like.
I almost bought a convertible Mini Cooper. And Dan was like, what? I was like, we're driving up. We're going to buy this Mini Cooper. I need to be like, I'm going to take you surfing so fun. I want to just like a cream Mini Cooper. He was like,
ooh, I like a Mini Cooper for you, by the way, Jess.
I do too. And Dan was like, that's the most impractical car. I'm like, that's why I like it.
Yes.
Because you don't go to the beach all the time. And just pull in that beach with the boogie boards in the back.
I love this. I love that for you. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, let's surprise ourselves a bit. And I do think, especially given the trauma we've all gone through, that it is, I know we talked about it before, but it is really necessary to feel alive right now, to feel connected, to feel that the future is bright, to feel that, you know, there are possibilities and that there are, you know, that we can like scream and rage and have fun. And I just really need that. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do. And I, of course, you know, I have children at home. Now, the thing is that, so that night, I assumed my children were asleep because I was coming home at 10:30.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
And then Casey said, this is the reason actually we missed the first Uber, because Casey said she was texting Paul and she's like, Gus is still awake. And I was like, well, I can't go home. You know, I have to stay here. I can't.
You know, you can't.
And so that was terrifying. And I know, obviously, I have adult responsibilities and all that. But I, you know, I am trying to live a more surprising life right now.
And I like the word surprise.
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 Let's stay open. Let's stay open
to opportunities.
To the night.
You know, yes. And when people ask you to do things, sure, yes. I mean, in the throes of cancer, that was my big thing. Fuck yes, life.
Yes.
Anybody asked me to do anything that seemed remotely fun, I said yes.
Yes.
I went to Disneyland the day before my double mastectomy. The day before. I was at Disneyland just so I can live in it up. I was in matching outfits with my nanny and BB. Now, we matched a lot. That wasn't like a
sure. No. That wasn't new. Yeah.
That wasn't new, but I just had a fucking blast. And yeah, why not? And I'm not. And then, you know, life, it can feel like such a chore. And this 2 years have felt like a trudge, like we're trudging what I can imagine it felt like after a world war, like we're just getting to the end. And I do feel like the end is near.
It's nigh. I feel that as well.
I do feel that.
And I want to say something to everyone who's like, oh, maybe I should organize a party or pull people together. I will say this. I think part of the reason why that night had such like crazy liftoff and energy behind it was because people write, like, if you're thinking of planning something, plan it now, like this weekend, next weekend, put your COVID protocols in place. Everybody was rapid tested.
Sure.
All the stuff, right? Triple vaxxed, all of it. But people outside, all of the things, right? But people are so excited to be together right now.
Yeah. It's like got an energy all to itself.
There's an
so
energy.
You're going to already have that energy. It's so built in.
You don't have to do as much as you might think because people are just happy to be there.
And here's the other thing, because, you know, I don't have a backyard and that's my constant fear. But there's nothing stopping you from saying on a Sunday afternoon, let's meet at the beach. Let's meet at a park. I'll bring wine. Dan and I were at the beach with BB on Saturday. We were sitting next to what looked like a first date or second date. And he had brought some chilled rosé, you know, and she was in a little too much makeup. And, you know, he had a cuffed khaki and we were just like, but so of course we spent the entire time at the beach staring at them and just watching their body language sort of shift. And Dan said, did they bring a whole bottle of wine to the beach? I'm like, they did.
Yeah, they did.
And why shouldn't they?
And why shouldn't
they? It was 1 p.m. Great.
Wow.
That's on a Sunday. Now, they don't have children. That's clear, you know, and I was, you know, but, and I was busy making a sandcastle out of dirty sand, but, and I didn't want to be. Here's the other thing is I need to find a way so that on Monday, I don't feel like a wrung out dish rack. So mommy's got to find some mommy time on the weekends. And Dan even said, like, why don't you take an hour and a half and go see a friend? And I was like, I didn't know that was even on the menu. And, you know, she hasn't gotten in any activities because we were back from London and we haven't, you know, gotten that schedule up and running. And when you have an only, it's like, what are we playing? What are we doing right now? So part of me is dabbling with the idea, and this sounds really crazy considering I really do need to get a job and work, of taking Mondays off. Because I'm like, if my weekends are going to be like this, I need a day to like do my shit.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you don't ever do, because sometimes with Paul, like we'll break up the time. So I'm like, I'll take the morning, but then yes, I'm getting in the bath book or whatever.
Of course. And when I'm in my right mind, I do that and stick to it. And nobody's going to think to themselves, oh, let me think about what this person, I'm not that person. I don't know what they need, what they're up to.
And I will say, you know, I've talked about this before, but I actually got so much comfort as a child in seeing my mom take care of herself.
Yes.
You know, and seeing her like come back from the hair salon or go to get her nails done, it made me feel safe because I was like, she feels good and she's cares enough about herself. Her appearance, and it's not about appearance or vanity. It's just she takes care of herself. And that was actually like great modeling for me. And I loved seeing it, even if I didn't have her with me.
I'm not modeling that for BB. I'm not. I sometimes on the weekends, I'm not even putting on clothes like that are actual clothes. Like BB and I were clones of each other, as you've seen. She looks exactly like me. And I said, well, I hope you like what you see. And she goes, yeah, I mean, I think I'll have maybe a different fashion sense. And that's because she's like, put on some clothes.
Okay. So we had a revamp. It's going to be good for you, Jess, if you feel like you can. I feel like it's your weekend.
I know. It's not. And listen, I'm not. It's not. Dan is there for it. He's not. He wants me to take it. But I sometimes seem like I don't need it or I don't ask for it because I'm just like, got to do it. Got to stay present. And then I'm a bitch. By 4 o'clock.
You have no choice.
By 4 o'clock,
choice but to be a bitch.
Yeah, ain't nobody wants to be around me.
Yeah. Well,
and I start saying things like, I'm done. Like, mommy's done, but it's only 4:15. And like, you got another 4 hours ahead of you.
Yeah. This will be good, Jess.
Yeah. I'm excited about that. But if for anyone else who struggles with that.
I understand what you're saying, though. I think also there's this pressure when you're parenting and you're working, you know, work outside the home, blah, 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 where you're like, oh, the weekend is my time to really lean in to my children. But I don't know. I think that, again, when I think about seeing my parents take care of themselves, I don't think you have to think of that as like, oh, I'm not parenting right now. I actually think that's like, I am showing my daughter or my children, whatever, that this is.
You're modeling like good self-care.
Yes.
And that's self-love, too. You aren't. And Michelle Kenny, who we had on, has the most amazing podcast this week that I really encourage everyone to listen to. It's about self-love. And it's about just how can you model self-love to them? We want to teach self-love, but you have to work on that. And self-love means taking care of oneself. Mm-hmm. And if you're not doing that, then what are you teaching them? that they need to just be constantly serving another human being, you know, putting their needs aside, that ain't a good lesson.
No.
You know, that it's, you should not put on real pants. That's not a good lesson.
I mean, listen, I'm laughing, but like, I have my house coats and my housewear, you know, that I slip into immediately upon arriving.
Sure.
And then unfortunately, like, I can't answer the door, you know.
No. You look
like
insane.
This whole thing of like athleisure and people wearing like lovely clothes in the home that are comfortable. Like, I don't know that. I only know, with the exception of my lake pajamas, only know like
disgusting clothes.
Home, you wear the most disgusting clothes you own. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you wear inside. Like the most ill-fitting, like, yeah, threads.
No, Dan asked me to throw out several items because he just couldn't look at it anymore. And I agree.
Yeah, Cody said disgusting or comfortable. I mean, both. That's the thing. But I am now in a position where it's like, it is actually hard for me to open the door. And we do have such lovely neighbors and kids are being dropped off and this and that. And I'm like, oh, I can't. The number of times I've had to say, like, I can't open the door. I can't see anything.
You'd have to drop your kid at the door and run. By the way, is Meatball okay?
Yes, thank you for asking, Jess.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the surgery went well.
Yes.
Yeah, but he's recovering.
And it's brutal.
Because he doesn't know what's happening. That's the horrible thing about pets. You can't tell them, honey, this isn't going to last forever. What does recovering mean for a bulldog?
Well, we're looking at two Mo's. You know, we got 2 months ahead of us and it's brutal. And this whole thing about like, make sure he doesn't move and is, they
don't
said,
know what
keep
that
him
means.
In the crate. I'm like, for 2 months?
That sounds like torture to him.
That's insane. So it's been brutal. I do feel like we're kind of at, like, it's 3 days ago now. So he's doing a little bit better today. The pain meds are intense, you know, he's just confused. And yeah, to have a dog sitting next to you crying.
Oh, I believe
I don't have the makeup to honestly.
I know.
Like I was fucking like, to hear him just look at me and cry. That's never happened before. And it was so, I called the vet and they were like, well, maybe you want to try taking off the pain patch because the 2 pain meds might be a little much for him. Some dogs start whining. But then I'm like, I don't want to take away his pain meds, you know? So, Jess, it's been spiritual work. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
It's been spiritual, like
this
having to
work.
Pull from things. You know,
and it's all encompassing because you're its only caregiver. I mean, and also I would assume he can't be left alone because if you're not going to have him in a crate, you have to be watching him at all times.
So right now he's in my office.
Yeah.
And I do feel like we could leave him here in the office and just close the doors. And I put all of these boxes and stuff up on the couch so that he can't get up there. I think this is the safest space. I mean, he doesn't move, you know, it's just, oh God, it's just horrible. You know, there's no other way to say it. This is horrible.
Just like horrible. I can't believe people walk around with their periods. I also can't believe people walk around like having put a dog down or had them gone through surgery and they're just living their days, you know?
So
I had to have an intervention with my elderly neighbor who, you know, lost her dog and then fell into a deep depression, i.e. I have not seen her come out of her door like 6 months. And I finally saw her and she told me, I'm deeply depressed. And I said, you must get a dog immediately. But she's grieving the dog, so she can't get the dog. And I'm like, I've tried to have a very aggressive intervention.
Yeah.
I said, you need a dog.
Yeah.
We do need them, but this is the price. We have to pay it.
It's pretty upsetting. And, you know, to lift him up this, like, there's two little steps from my office. I've got to put a sling around his belly and, like, pull him up there. And it's just, it's very depressing. Very, very depressing. Here's the hard thing that I'm struggling with is, like you said, there's no explaining this to him. So,
yeah.
And this was not, was it an elective surgery? There were questions around doing this or not.
Yeah.
You know, the risk reward.
I always
there always are with surgery, animals.
But I always prefer a surgery if for humans too.
I definitely lean more kind of Western medicine.
Ultimately. I like going under the knife.
Yeah. No, I'm terrified of it for myself. You know, again, I wish I had the courage and the fortitude to
get past surgery. I'll get you there.
Please, you got to work with me on that.
Yeah. So anyway, but you're feeling like you've made the decision to do this and you're like, oh God, is it the right decision? And did I put him in pain, electively?
Yes. And I have spoken to, you know, we have dear neighbors down the block and I was walking to school with my friend Justin, one of our neighbors. And he was like, you definitely made the right decision. They need that. You know, I just am like, it's just so hard when the dogs do not understand what is going on. And especially for someone like Meatball, who takes his job seriously in this house, which is to protect me and to be with me. And, you know, to feel that that's been taken from him. You know, Paul had a beautiful conversation with him when he came home where he was like, you're not on duty anymore, buddy.
Oh, God. What is he trying to do? Turner and Hooch? Like a monologue from Turner and Hooch? Oh, my God.
I'm going to cry. He was like, it's time for us to take
care. Oh, my God.
I can't do it, Jess. I can't do it. I was like.
But that's dementia. That's Emma. It's like. I know. Sometimes will say, like, it's frustrating to have a dog who just paces constantly and pees everywhere and doesn't seem to recognize us as members of her family sometimes. But it's hard to explain to her that this is me giving back for all of those years of her taking care of us. And that's what we do for our parents and our loved ones, you know? But to say it's a good time is just not true.
I know. And, you know, it's just hard when I'm like having to be in the position of deciding what is the right thing to do, you know, when the patient cannot speak is, just hard, just freaking hard. And I do think we might be past. I mean, I've been up all night the last two nights with Meatball.
I wouldn't have slept a wink.
I would have slept, but he was crying the entire night. So I actually would have slept just fine. The only good news is that I think it really, being up these last two nights has really, I love babies. I would take all of the children.
Not time to have another one. We can't handle it. I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't
do it. Getting up with this dog.
I guess the puppy's going to come and do that to me too. I know it's a joke.
This is, why am I awake right now? It was absurd. And I really had a full body understanding of like, can't go back. I won't go back.
I won't. If you
want, I won't go back.
If you want to deliver me like a 3-year-old,
a 2-year-old, or preferably actually a 4-year-old,
maybe 5, maybe kindergarten. Maybe 5. You know, I don't know. I can't do that other part. I'm too old. We're too old for that shit. But that's also good to know. Like that part of us is done, and that's good, and that's correct.
It was good. It was like, oh, and I love babies, and I love children. More so, I love children.
Sure.
I love little kids. And so I was like, but I don't want this. I don't want to be up at night.
You know what's wonderful too is like, so my other surrogate mom, is her kids, her girls are in their, you know, like late 20s, and they are not yet, you know, obviously like ready for that kind of thing. But her house is constantly filled with children, constantly. She has a gumball machine. She has, like, so we had a really weird time the other day, and I said, I got to get a chaser. Like, we got to, like, make this a good day, because, you know, when you have a bad, bad experience with a 8-year-old, you got to, you know, make them forget about it. And she was like, take me to Pam's. I need to see Stanley. Stanley is their yellow lab. I need to see Stanley immediately. And so I was like, hey, Pam, like, I'm just inviting myself over. She lives around the corner. She was like, absolutely. She's always got a fresh baked cookie, a gumball machine, and like a gift closet and a yellow lab that just likes to be ridden around like a like a horse. And wow. So we can have children in our lives all the time. 1,000%. You can.
1,000%. I totally agree.
They don't have to
I
be
just
yours.
Can't do the newborn phase again or the baby phase in general. And I'm saying baby phase because I feel like that does last till 4. You know, I just can't do it.
No.
So that's good news. It's actually great news. But Meatball, you know, it's spiritual work that we're doing together. And it's just being with someone who's uncomfortable and being able to sit with that and not freak out. And
well, it's triggering too. Like, is it bringing up? Is it bringing up?
Here's
what it's,
here's where I'm struggling is I am having some guilt because Meatball started off really attached to Paul.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think Paul's energy in the home, I've talked about this before, but Paul's energy with dogs initially was like very, he knew his way around a dog.
Yeah.
Very strong energy, very alpha energy. I think what might have happened though is after a little while, Meatball started to understand, like, oh, it's actually this lady who seems to run this organization.
Like, Paul's the face of the family.
Yes.
Like, you're like...
He's more of like a figurehead.
You're like the COO. Wait, you're the CEO. He's the COO. Somebody. You know, you're the CEO. Chief Operating
Officer.
He's like
a wonderful brand ambassador.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, he's a highly paid, like, brand ambassador.
Yeah, he's with who equity comes in the and company. Releases...
With lots,
like,
of equity in the company.
He's the one who does the show when they release the new product. But you're in the trenches, like, dealing with the factories and the rollout.
Yes. And also, you know, the final word.
If you guys, not to bring it back to nature, but you are in an elephant herd. And that is run by a matriarch.
Listen, I grew up in a matriarchy. It's the only thing I know.
Yeah, right.
I don't understand. Like, I'm like, smash the patriarchy. We did. Like, I didn't know it.
Right.
You know,
we did it in the 80s in Long Island. Like, we were already evolved in that way.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. I think what happened is Meatball quickly learned that there was a lot of deference toward me and that, you know, my energy in the home setting is actually very powerful.
Yeah.
So even though, like, okay, I'm not a dog person or I didn't know how to be a dog person, but, like, who cares? You know, he started to hitch his wagon
to that star. But also, remember in Downton Abbey, Hugh Bonneville's character, you know, the man in charge of it all, he is always followed by 2 yellow labs. They follow him wherever he goes. Okay? Cora is not being followed by any.
So I think what happened is because Meatball attached himself to me so intensely.
Yeah.
I would say, like, oh, this is so annoying. He's following me around the house, literally from room to room. I mean, Jessica, right. I mean, like, I walk into the bathroom, I hear him outside, sometimes pushing the door open if I don't lock it to sit next to me. You know, I walk upstairs, he's going upstairs.
I walk downstairs,
going downstairs.
I love that.
Walk into the kitchen, he's following me into the kitchen. And what I've always appreciated about him, though, is he's not a dog that
begs.
No, he's not like, begging for treats. He's not even begging for pets. He's just there.
He's really not. He's just like, I'm going to be here.
Right.
I'm going to be where you are.
Oh, I love that.
You know, so it's not like, but there are times where I'm like, I'm going in the closet and I forgot something downstairs and you're going to follow me down to go right. And I know you don't know I'm going back up, but you're going to go. So where my guilt is and fear is that I didn't curb that behavior.
Oh, no.
And maybe it was sort of like scratching an itch for me to feel like that level of unconditional love. And a part of me is like, did I cause a ligament tear because of the amount of stairs he was doing up and down, in and out all day long? You know, so that no, I have some
June, but
guilt.
This is the same thing we talked about with Paige about cancer. You immediately go to, what did I do to give this to myself? Because when there is something that you can't control that's causing pain, either to yourself or to a loved one, our brains try to find control. And that is the one we go back. What could I have done differently? What could I punish myself for?
Oh, my God. I will tell you my shame and my dark secret. I don't think I brought this up yet. I mean, you talked about your three bricks behind the garbage, behind the recycling bin. So I never thought I'd really say this aloud, but when Meatball fell on the stairs, I had left this blanket. You know, I was trying to get into an organizational system in my home.
Yeah.
Where if I saw something that needed to go upstairs, I'd put it on the steps.
Yeah, I've been doing that too. That's been, Dan says, why are you trying to trip everybody in this home?
Okay. So in my craze of like, I have to fucking get myself organized.
Yeah.
I had folded a blanket and put it on the steps. And that was, I didn't see it, but I think Meatball might have tripped on that blanket. So again, then when I did tell the vet this, I mean, I openly
said, of course, you like had to confess. You need to know I've been a bad person. Yeah. So I was like, oh, just like I did. I was like, just so you know. Yeah. I've been working 14 hours. So I did this to myself. Like, no one really said that to me, but I took that. I tell everyone, oh, yes, I gave it to myself. No. You did. His ligaments were ready to pop.
That's what she said. She's like, that might maybe have caused it. She's like, but it was going to happen.
Too
much degeneration. Yes.
And this is a bulldog problem. And also, yes. I would argue, with him just sitting around, like he's already getting fat shamed. He needs to be doing his steps. He needs to be doing literally moving. And so, no, you can't prevent a dog from climbing things. You can't.
And you know what?
Yes.
So I have some, you know, I'm sort of processing all of that and thinking, you know, because here's what I do think about animals and pet owners is there's so much exchange between the two of us, mm-hmm. you know, there's so much energy exchange. And the love is so strong that you get, but mm-hmm. you also do have to be responsible for mm-hmm. taking care of them, mm-hmm. which is sometimes like either not rewarding bad behavior or, I mean, I'm not saying anything revolutionary, but or stopping them from doing something. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is there something in me that needed that love so much that I didn't?
What about Meatball needing to be with you? You know, Paul thinks he witnessed his owner have a heart attack. Like, he also is an insecure dog.
He's a very anxious dog.
Rescues are anxious and insecure. And so you're giving him his purpose. Also, bulldogs are there to protect. That's what they were bred for. So for you to have taken that away from him would have been taking, I'm not just bullshitting you, honestly. I'm not. You can't stop him from being in pain right now. But he knows on a deep cellular level, my mommy's here. My mommy's got it. I'm trusting my mommy. I may whine because it hurts a little, but I'm not freaking out, you know? So you have to trust that. And you got to have some self-love here. I'm serious. I know this seems insane. We're talking about a bulldog, but like stop with that because you are doing a wonderful job as a dog mommy. You are.
Because where my head wants to go is like, well, first of all, I don't even know if he slipped on the blanket because I didn't see it.
He didn't slip.
But where my head goes is like, you piece of shit, you couldn't clean your fucking house.
Well, because here we go.
You can never clean, you can never.
I wish I could show you what my house looks like right now.
You can never clean your fucking house. It will haunt you the rest of your day.
It will for me too.
It will for me too. In your sad attempt to stay organized, because you can't get things upstairs and you can't get things in their place, you've really destroyed this animal's life. And that's where I want to go.
Whoa.
I really do. I
know. And
like,
isn't it amazing that from the outside.
And cleaning.
No, and from the outside, these things are so clear to our loved ones. Like, how dare you, like, think that about yourself? That's insane. That's what an insane person thinks.
I know.
That you did this, you hurt your animal by providing the most loving, happy home for them and letting them be with you all the time. And, you know, no, you didn't do any of that. And this is our practice. If we can say self-love, I am a human being. I'm doing the best I can do. I'm doing a great job. And I am a good mommy. I'm a good dog mommy. I'm a good friend. I'm a good person. I'm a good worker. I'm a good boss. I'm good. And I refuse to hear that you done something wrong. You just paid, you just went into debt to give your bulldog surgery.
I did.
You want to blame someone? Go back to England. I'm sure they did it, where they bred this dog to have bad hips.
For sure. These dogs are a genetic abomination.
They are. And they're so damn cute. They're so damn cute.
Frankenstein.
They are.
Absolutely. They should not exist.
No.
You know, like they are. Yeah, I was not responsible for that, for sure. It's just. I guess to answer your question, yeah, it is bringing up a lot. I think you're right. It's bringing up a few things. And I was told by the surgeon, like, ooh. Oh, he'll definitely need the other one done at some point.
Are you kidding? Couldn't you just done them both? What is this? Can't we get a 2-for-1 on this?
I wanted to bring it up, but I was so scared. And it was so crazy. These conversations with these vets are so crazy because I also am like trying to tell her, I'm like, you know, I can cut off the stairs, obviously, and he can stay in my office. I said, but I want you to know, like, I have a lot of things to do as well. Like, I have to be honest about the reality of my life. Like, it was so crazy. I'm like, I have to get kids to school. Like, I want to support him, do the best thing for him, but I have to be brutally honest because, you know, this is what I feel I can do, but I'm not sure if it was just so.
Yes, because you don't have 24 hours a day to watch him.
Really,
so you got to let me know.
To be honest about it.
Yeah, you're right.
I want to set him up for success and I want to set myself up for success. So I'm going to tell you. And also, the situation with vets is so crazy right now. And these surgeons, like, I've never seen these people.
Oh, no, that couldn't be the worst. Yes. And, you know, in England, it's not that way. I would sit with Dr. Grant Petrie, as you know, every day, every week. But it's okay. That's the thing for me, too. I chose to stop chemo before it was done because I said it doesn't feel.
I didn't know that, Jess.
Yeah, she should have kept going for another, 2 months. But I said enough is enough. She was getting so upset when she would go. So upset. And mentally, I could see she was going more. She'd taken a steep dive. And so I was like, we're done. We're done with this. My wise mind. You know, I'm doing dialectical behavioral therapy again once a week, a class, and I fucking love it. I did it 8 years ago and the skills, but their main thing is, what does your wise mind say? We have our rational mind, our wise mind, and our emotion mind. When the rational and emotion comes together, it's a wise mind. And the way you contact it is to breathe in and breathe out and sit with the question. and say, sometimes you can say, wise mind in, wise mind out, or have, you know, is this wise mind? And at the end of that breath and that pause is your answer. And I know that in the pause, your answer is, this was right for him. I am a good dog mommy, and I did not cause this. I know that. I know it.
I do know it.
Stick with that.
I do know it. I do, you know.
He'll be back on the pickleball court before you know it. Wouldn't you love to see a bulldog dressed in a little, like a little tennis outfit?
You know, it's such beautiful, it is spiritual work taking care of an animal.
Yes, it's expands it is your soul.
Spiritual work. It is deep, deep spiritual work because yes, it does require you to intuit and to feel into decision making when you don't have, you know, verbal consent.
No, and you don't. You don't.
So it's like,
And medical decisions too, something that people do not know before until they go through it is that you really think medical decisions should be scientifically based, but there is often options. And you're like, why are you giving me options? I did not go to school for this.
Yeah.
But you have to decide sometimes which way are you going to go for yourself, for your parents, for whoever. And it's very like, that's a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
Very rarely will they say it's 100% this.
Absolutely.
We could do this. We could do that. That's why I always like to ask, what would you do? What would you do if it was you, your wife, your daughter? They won't give you that thing, that question. They won't give you that answer unless you ask it. They won't offer it. Sometimes you got to ask. That's my favorite little tip.
That's a hot tip. And it is true. It's like
I ask a vet that too. I ask a vet that too. Would you give your dog chemo if you could afford it? And they'll be like, you know what? For this, I remember her saying, God bless, I got a mother. I don't know if you remember when I got that news and they were like, she's going to die in 2 weeks. And she was a mother of three. I said, I'm going to England. She cannot die right away. And she was like, here's what we're going to do. Give her chemo. And I was like, would you do that? She was like, I would, because I know that what she has actually responds. So you're not doing something crazy. But to know that you're bringing your dog to get sick, that's tough. David, that was real.
That's right.
Get the car.
No. It's too much. It's just, and by the way, my heart goes out to people who want to, you know, get these surgeries and do these things and can't afford it.
By the way, could I
afford it? I don't know. I don't know how to do my finances or accounting. So,
yeah.
I might be one of those people. For all I know, I guess time will tell if I get another job or not. But
no, but I had to make that decision too. I was like, it's time to not continue to pay this money. I'm not going to be working right now. You know, my job is ending. It's time to make that. That doesn't feel good, but that's a decision that we should make. And would I have done it if we weren't going to London? Probably not. We can't. I mean, who is it? Aristotle? One of these people. My dad will give me the quote. Said that the biggest tragedy in life is that we outlive our pets.
Well, I told you, you know, I told you, I follow all of these hospice nurses on TikTok and I love them so much. They're so incredible. And I've learned so much about hospice and have my own like regrets about my dad not being on hospice. And I've sort of fallen into a wormhole about that. But only because I think hospice care is so misunderstood and what it is. But anyway, so one of the nurses was saying that she's witnessed like 1,000 deaths, something insane. And she's like, she has no kind of religious.
That's interesting.
You know, she doesn't go one way or the other. She's not a religious person, but she's like, I'm so sorry, I have to report. Like, people show up. She's like, and I, everybody wants to
what do you
me
mean people show up?
Loved ones who have already passed.
That's,
show up.
Whoa.
Okay. And she's like, you know, I know everybody's telling me, oh, they're hallucinating pain meds. She's like, I've been an RN for this many years. I know what hallucinations look like. These are not hallucinations. And, you know, she said, people who've already passed show up to say, like, we're going to bring you home and pets.
Well, that's what pets. Teresa Caputo says. And by the way, she's pets. On the market. She wants to do podcasts. Can we get Teresa on?
Whoa.
Can we so get Jess, Teresa
here's
what, on?
Here's my body is reacting right now because I'm like.
She's from Long Island.
I'm not afraid to send a DM to a fellow Long Islander.
Please do but, today.
Okay. But I don't know if I can handle Teresa Caputo.
We can. Let's
Jessica,
do it.
I don't know.
I'm ready to. We can.
Okay. I may have to go silent and say, I will witness your conversation with Teresa Caputo, but I don't know that I can have her speaking to my parents.
Do you think your mom?
I feel like you're the only medium that I'm comfortable with them communicating through. I just
listen,
don't know. If
I understand.
Can do that.
And that's why I was kind of like, let's see if you're even interested. I don't know why I'm having this conversation on the air, but somebody did tell me she's only doing podcasts right now. And, you know, I was desperate. She got
only
me through.
Like she'll turn down Ellen. Like,
well, I don't know. She's just not, you know, Jordan said she'll Jordan. Volunteer as a tribute. I do. You know, I've not seen a psychic. I've only seen one psychic and I didn't really feel like Kelly came through. I'm ready for Teresa to bring me what she brings me. If she wants to come on, I really also think it's just we need to get as many people as we think may have connections to the other side. We do need to do our research. I think it would be irresponsible for us not to at least pursue
but see,
it.
Okay, but you say this. I mean, I've said this before about psychics and like I do feel connected to the other side.
I understand. So you can tell her, you could tell her, Teresa, I can't go there, but, you know, I listen, she hasn't even said yes. And now that she's going to listen to this, she's just not going to want to do it.
Well, maybe we'll cut this part out. I mean, Jess, I just don't know. Like, Teresa is connected. Teresa's one foot in, one foot out to the other side.
So, yes. And what I was going to say is Teresa, who I listened to obsessively, I found her obsessively after Kelly passed. I watched every single episode. She says that the first thing you see are your pets. They greet you because they want you to feel safe.
Yeah.
And they come bounding over like a hill to you because she'll say a lot, like she'll be in line getting some bologna or some prosciutto and she'll say, did you have a Yorkshire Terrier? Like, and they're like, oh my God, my Yorkie. Like, she knows. She was like, he's here waiting. You'll see him. You'll see him. Please slide wow. into her DMs. Please, June.
Okay, I'll slide in. You know, I don't know what I'm saying, but I'll slide in. Well, Jess, I don't even know how to wrap this up. I'm feeling like different from when I sat down, but I don't know if it's better or worse. I have to tell you, I don't know if it's better or worse.
I don't know either. I you feel know? Like crying and I don't know why, but I just do feel like crying.
I do too. Oh. And I was so excited to tell you about how, like, you know, how drunk I was and how much fun it was. And now I just want to cry. So definitely energies have shifted.
I do want to say to our deep divers, you know, I'd really like you guys. I want to get more deep divers into this podcast. I just do. I have a goal in my head. I'm just going to say it. I'd like 1 million people a month to listen to this podcast.
I love that.
I'd like 1 million people because I just love every single person I meet through this. And I just feel like the more we can get, the more good vibes we can get going for each other, you know? Also, there was this woman who, God bless, she has stage 4 breast cancer and she has a GoFundMe. because something, I don't know if it's insurance or what, but, and that deep diver sent it to me. And so then I posted it on my stories and I just heard from her and she was like, do you know how many donations I got from deep divers? There's a lot of good we can do. So let's get some, I want to get a million. So I don't know. Listen, I think it's an each one, reach one, teach one. I think it is sharing word of mouth because that's how women have been doing it for centuries. I think posting about it really does help, like on your stories, like everyone's just the cutest little posts and we repost them. I think a review on Apple
always great.
Really helps. And we've so many wonderful reviews. Anything else you think they could do for us to get the word out?
Gosh, I think definitely, like you said, posting about it on whatever networks you have is so helpful. And
just sharing it.
Your friends about a fun podcast.
A drop off. Hey, have you checked this out? Or follow us on Apple. That would be so helpful. It's just like subscribe, but they call it follow now.
Yeah, what a great goal. And I do love doing this with you so much, Jess. It's so...
Me too.
It's so fun.
It really is.
All right, Deep Divers, thank you so much for joining us. And we will see you next week.
Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go dive in deep. Let's go on the deep dive. No secrets will we. It's June and Jessica, going deep. How deep can you go? Oh, really deep. Let's go on the deep dive. Let's go diving deep.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.